Welcome to Plot Spackle, everybody, for a very special episode. This is Richard. I watched this when I was a kid.
This is John. I watched this in junior high.
And this is Eric. And I saw this in theaters.
When did you see it in theaters?
You know.
When did you see it in theaters?
Not yet. I haven't seen this movie yet. But I am seeing it in theaters.
He is seeing it in theaters. Because that's what Eric lives under a rock. All the movies that Eric hasn't seen, we're going to go watch it.
But apparently should have.
Yeah, he apparently should have.
So guys, what is Eric Lives Under a Rock?
Well, when we were talking about a bunch of movies, because we were talking about doing a podcast about films, we found out that a lot of movies that we just considered childhood staples of being kids that lived in the 80s, just kind of assumed that you'd watched, and then you hadn't.
Yeah, I think our first sign was probably actually The Goonies, because he had never seen The Goonies.
That's right. I saw The Goonies for the very first time 3 years ago.
When I forced him to by giving it to him for his birthday.
And then we watched it. I really like The Goonies, but it's just one of those, I kind of flew under the radar for me. It flew under the radar for me.
And so we actually started polling people within our group of friends about what they consider to be the quintessential list of movies that you should have watched. And a lot of them are a bit more specific to each individual person, but we got a lot of them that were most people had seen and had assumed that people of that age group and background had also seen. How big is our list?
We ended up with over 750 different films.
I mean, that's a lot of movies.
It's a lot of movies. But more than 50% of them, he hadn't seen.
So, for example, I have never seen, at the time of this recording, E.T. the Extraterrestrial.
Wait, what?
Yeah, I've never seen E.T. the Extraterrestrial.
I didn't know that was on the list, and yeah. The unseen.
It's on the list.
I just don't know how.
I have not seen Top Gun.
Nope.
Okay.
Richard, I think you should maybe read off some of those titles.
Some of the headliners.
All right. Some of the big ones. Like, okay, Batteries Not Included. As a kid in the 80s, 90s, Batteries Not Included.
Yeah, that was one I remember fondly.
AI, Artificial Intelligence.
I actually haven't seen that one.
Ah, well, Eric.
John Lives Under a Rock.
There you go.
It's not supposedly a great film. Like, I've seen parts of it.
But it's one that, I don't know, people have seen.
Apparently people liked it enough to put it on this list.
Someone liked it enough.
Yeah.
You know who you are.
Army of Darkness.
I have not seen Army of Darkness. I have not seen any of the Evil Dead movies, actually.
Not a single Evil Dead. He doesn't even know why Bruce Campbell is so great.
No, I know why Bruce Campbell's so great. He played a really good part in Spider-Man.
He did more than that.
That's true. He played three different parts in Spider-Man.
Okay, you got me there.
How about The Breakfast Club?
I have not seen The Breakfast Club.
Chicken Run?
I think I've seen Chicken Run.
According to our list, you said no.
Oh, well, I guess not. It's one of those, I used to watch movies as a kid during the summer. We would go to, my parents would drop us off at a movie theater for like a kiddie movie Tuesdays or something, and you'd get your little tray of food and your popcorn, and you just sit and watch like one or two movies during the summer when you weren't doing anything. So that might have been one of the movies, but I'm not 100% sure.
No, because Chicken Run's more recent than that.
Ah, well, I guess yep. Not.
How about Chicago?
I've not seen Chicago.
You know the songs?
Nope.
Okay.
Crocodile Dundee?
Nope.
Darby O'Gill and the Little People?
I know that's Sean Connery's like first movie, or one of his first movies.
The Flight of the Navigator.
I really wanted to watch that as a kid, but unfortunately, no, I didn't see it. The only place I would have been able to watch it was at my grandparents' house, and they only had a Betamax player.
All right, and so we could keep listing movies all day. Literally, we could.
Really, we could.
There's a big, long list. And so we decided that occasionally we're going to take a break from filling plot holes and instead introduce Eric to one of these movies, talk to him before the movie, what he thinks it's about off of what he's heard from pop culture, or just guest work, have him watch the movie, then we'll record afterwards, and he can talk about how he feels about the movie now, his first experience. And we're doing Labyrinth first because, coincidentally, it's going to be in theaters for a short while as part of an anniversary event.
So yeah, I like Labyrinth so much, I went and saw it in theaters. I guess. I'm assuming I liked it.
You will have going to have liked it. But we're going to start talking about, you know, some of the bits in Labyrinth.
Oh, and just so you guys are aware, this probably isn't going to be spoilery, just because, well, I don't know anything that's going on. And Richard and John are going to be quizzing me about parts of it, but generally these are going to be older movies that if you wanted to see them, you really should have.
All right, so first off, you know the name of the movie is Labyrinth. What do you think it is about?
Well, to give my plot synopsis of the movie that I've never seen before, I know that there's a girl named Sarah. There is the Goblin King, played by David Bowie. So I'm guessing... Oh, and he steals her baby brother or something. So, Sarah has to go through the labyrinth to find the Goblin King and his codpiece.
And why is the codpiece significant?
From what I can tell, it's just because it's featured very prominently in the film for children, I guess. I don't know.
Uh-huh. All right.
So, let's see. What are some other parts that I know from this movie that there are a bunch of... It was a Jim Henson movie, so there's Muppet-like things in there. I know that a horse drowns in a sea of sadness or something, and that apparently that's sad.
Okay, that's actually the wrong movie.
Wait, what movie is that?
We don't want to get too spoilery, but it is a different movie, and it's not in this movie.
Eric, have you ever seen Neverending Story?
Oh, he said the movie.
No, I've never seen the Neverending Story.
Cool. Well, adding that to a list.
All right. Yeah. Do you know about, is it a musical? Is Labyrinth a musical?
Well, I know David Bowie's in there, so I would assume there would be some songs, but I don't think it's a musical.
All right. So, that's, Eric's first thoughts about the movie. Not a musical. David Bowie's codpiece. And horses drown. So we're going to move into a fun little section. It's we're going to name characters from the movie. And Eric has to guess whether or not they are a good guy, a bad guy, or a band name.
All right. So we're going to start off real easy. Sarah.
Well, I know Sarah is the main character of the movie.
All right. How about Hoggle?
I want to say Batty.
All right, Hoggle's a bad guy. What about Toby?
Good guy.
All right, all right.
Ludo.
I know Ludo is that big furry guy with horns that it's kind of the mascot.
Good guy or bad guy? Or band name?
A good guy.
Wrong. It's a band name.
It is a band name.
Wait.
Look it up.
Well, the person you're actually thinking of is Ludo.
Well, I know Ludo, the band, took their name from Ludo, the character.
All right.
I like Ludo, the band.
So that one was a trick question.
It was a trick question.
How about Junk Lady?
That kind of has a negative connotation to it, but because this was an 80s movie, I'm going to say it's actually a good person. A good guy.
Okay.
Didymus.
Good guy.
All right. What about Ambrosius?
That sounds slightly royal, so I'm going to say bad guy.
All right. What about Left Door Knocker?
Bad guy.
Right Door Knocker?
Bad guy?
How about The Wooden Tops?
I almost want to say that's a band name.
It is a band name.
Hey, you got it. What about the Fiery?
Bad guy.
How many Fieries are bad guys?
Seven.
All right, seven bad guys.
All right. What about Rip Rig?
Bad guy because it has the word rip in his name.
Okay. And how about Goblin Corps?
I'm going to assume bad guy because the Goblin King steals Sarah's baby brother.
That's a band name.
Oh.
Right. As was Rip Rig.
Oh my gosh.
And how did he do?
He's doing okay.
He's doing okay. There were a couple that he's got wrong, but he won't know that yet.
And I think we'll come back to you after Eric has actually watched Labyrinth.
So if you haven't seen Labyrinth right now, at this second would be a good place to pause, go watch The Labyrinth, and then join me for the second part.
Yep, and then we'll learn about the power of the babe.
Wait, or what? The babe with the power.
I Babe with the, is that how like the Goblin King gets his powers? I mean, isn't he like 1,000 years old or something?
I don't know exactly how old
he is. I don't know. I haven't seen this movie.
Well, you'll find out.
He'll find out. All right, and so we are back. And,
all right, guys. I know who the babe is.
You know who the babe is.
It was her little brother, which I kind of knew from the beginning anyway, so.
Well, yeah, yeah. And now you know about the power of the babe, right?
The power of voodoo?
You do.
Me do? Who?
Ah, yeah, you did.
I messed it up.
You messed it up.
I'll just have to dance my magic dance.
So, what are your initial thoughts on The Labyrinth?
Let's say I really enjoyed it. Not let's say I did really enjoy it, whatever. I was just going to say I'm kind of sad that I missed it as a kid because, I don't know, it has a definite 80s feel to it, which I think would have, I would have really liked. I like 80s movies. I still watch them now with all their flaws. I just kind of feel bad because I can't take my experiences watching it completely out of it. So I could tell that, well, the pacing is kind of bad, or the parents are, or I guess the acting in the first 10 minutes of the movie is really wooden. And I'm sure I would have been okay with that as a kid because, well, I didn't know any better, but it's just, I had to try and take myself out of it. All in all, I enjoy the movie.
All right, and so I think that would be a good question. Maybe we can do going forward is, do you wish you would have watched this as a kid? And the answer for this is...
Yes, I do wish I saw this as a kid. It's like, there's a lot of the 80s movies that I wish I had seen growing up. For example, I never saw The Goonies until a few years ago. And those are kind of, I don't want to say rite of passages, but they're the type of movies that would definitely help you or just cement like your kidness, you know what I mean?
Oh yeah, yeah. Where I think there was a certain thing that we saw a lot more in the 80s where there's harsher or more scary children's movies in that time period.
Yeah, we were a lot less concerned about how terrified your kids would be of a film than we are nowadays.
For example, when did Raiders of the Lost Ark come out? Was that 81 or was it 85? No, not 85, because that's close to when Last Crusade came out.
Well, we're having Richard check for accuracy, but 81 sounds about right.
So
81.
Yeah, the end of the Raiders of the Lost Ark, and all with, I guess, spoiler alert for...
Spoiler alert for a movie that was made 30...
30 lot years ago?
It's over 30 years ago. Statute of limitations, guys.
So all the Nazis that die at the end, but their faces are all melting off or exploding, and that's pretty terrifying.
Yeah.
But it was still a PG movie, so as long as your parents were okay with it. But yeah, so to bring this point back, 80s movies were definitely scarier than movies today. At least children's movies were scarier.
And I think that's a kind of a quality, because the world is scary and dangerous, and if you hide away from that, it brings some... poor expectations of what's going to happen.
What's another, as you're talking about scary kids movies, I'm like, what about that Nim movie?
Oh yeah, Secrets of Nim.
I can't remember if I've actually seen that. I know I've seen bits and pieces of it. I just know it was terrifying in some parts.
Oh yeah, there's a pretty scary owl.
So just like thinking back, well, you're going to find out in a future recording. I don't know exactly when, but apparently E.T. is terrifying. I don't know. I haven't seen it.
It's another one of those things on the list for Eric to see at some point.
Yeah, he needs to see E.T.
Oh, one complaint. I'm touching the table, so we're going to get that in there. Sorry, guys.
All right.
All our listeners.
One thing.
I thought there was supposed to be a horse that drowned in this movie.
That is Neverending Story.
Yeah, we said that was Neverending Story.
Wait, what?
Yep. It's in the first half of this episode. You forgot.
I did. Due to the magic of podcasting, we actually aren't recording at the exact same time. I didn't have a chance to go watch The Labyrinth in, oh, I don't know, the 10 seconds between now and then.
Yeah, yeah. So some things are forgotten. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's another movie that has a lot of scarier or creepier things in it. But it's okay for kids.
My question, as you are the person with a kid, are you going to show Labyrinth to your kid?
Yeah, I think I will. Everyone needs to know about Bowie and, well, I would say in his codpiece, but that's kind of like sexual harassment right there. And he wasn't actually wearing a codpiece throughout the movie. I felt a little more awkward watching that.
Trying to pay attention to that one.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know if I should be looking there, but he's not wearing a codpiece because, well, history lesson, kids, codpieces were made to hide your syphilis. I don't think David Bowie had syphilis. I don't know. Maybe he did. Penicillin's a thing now, so.
Were there any other comments you had about the movie? Any other points? Like, what's your high point for the movie?
High point.
Favorite scene, favorite character.
Favorite character. I'd have to say my favorite character is probably Ludo. He's just kind of a cool character. I think he was probably designed to be that way, though. Jareth was pretty cool. You definitely, I guess, you kind of knew what his motivations were. His motivations, I think, were based off of what Sarah actually wanted, and she didn't know what she wanted, so his motivations are unclear because she doesn't know what she wants. She still wants to be, well, obviously she still wants to be a kid, but she wants to be treated like an adult. Jareth is trying to give that to her, but because they're conflicting ideals, he can't actually do that. But yeah, I like Ludo. I definitely like the magic dance song. That I've had that actually stuck in my head for the past couple of days. Well, since we watched the movie, I had that stuck in my head, and then I started to get ready for this recording. I started listening to it again, and I have it stuck in my head at this very moment. So, but yeah, so that I would say those are my high and low, or not high, low. My favorite character and my favorite part of the movie. So yeah, any other questions you have for me, guys?
Or? All right, here's a hard question. If they were to remake The Labyrinth, who could be Jareth? First, we'll go through. So, who's our Jareth? Who's our Sarah? And I think really those are the only two human characters.
Mm-hmm.
Besides, you know, baby and parents, but they don't matter.
Yeah,
so
they
much.
Don't count.
So who would be the modern Jareth and who would be the modern Sarah?
I think they would try and get at least a musical person. So I'm going to probably say Jared Leto, the lead singer from 30 Seconds to Mars or the Joker and Suicide Squad. I don't know, though. I really don't think anyone could beat, I don't want to say beat Bowie, but I think he was the perfect part.
Well, the role was built around him. Like, the movie was, in fact, written for David Bowie.
There were a lot of other musicians actually in line for the film. They'd considered Michael Jackson. Sting was a favorite until they got to David Bowie. And once David Bowie was considered for the role, then they just kind of went all in with it.
So, I do think they need to keep at least the musician part of the role. So, I don't really know that many musician actors. Jared Leto's the only one I know.
The Zac Efron?
Who?
All right.
So, instead of maybe thinking, because David Bowie wasn't an actor, he was just theatrical.
Mm-hmm. I think you would, if they were to remake him, though, they would probably try and go with something quirky. So, Johnny Depp would probably be a favorite to play that. He'd probably
have
be
to get directed by Tim Burton at that point.
Yeah, and Helen Michelle. Or then I guess Sarah's going to be played by Helena Bonham Carter. Yeah, there. I guess we have.
Well,
our,
she could be the crazy bag lady, though.
Oh yeah, she would be the bag
yeah,
lady.
Okay, yeah, that's the trash lady. Sarah obviously has to be played by a younger actress, and I just don't know very many young
that's
actresses.
Fine. That's fine. She could be a new and up and coming actress, first role ever. Mm-hmm.
I'm just thinking that it definitely has to be a quirky character. I'm just trying to think.
Now, what if they like did a kind of a gender bent thing and switched the roles, where it's the Goblin Queen, and then case you could have like Lady Gaga or Katy Perry as.
Well, that's just terrifying. I'd have to think about this a little bit more, but as of right now, I would probably say Johnny Depp for the new Goblin King. He's quirky, even though I think he's trying to move away from that right now. Just his last movies have not been very quirky movies. I guess he's in the Fantastic Beasts movie as the bad guy. And he was also in Murder on the Orient Express. I haven't seen that version of it, but I know how it ends. So, or I assume I know how it ends. I saw the 60s version.
All right. So any other thoughts?
No, I enjoyed The Labyrinth. I wish I had seen it earlier. I will definitely show it to my kids when they're old enough to behold the majesty of Bowie.
How old is old enough?
5.
All right.
5 or 6. Definitely when they can start remembering what happened the day before.
Okay. When they're old enough to, like, hold the plot together?
Yep. They don't even have to have that. But, I mean, like, the fun songs would work. But Oh, I don't think it... Dang it. I'm just thinking that they'd have to update the songs.
That's all right. I'm currently looking up because recently they actually found the one of the Hoggle puppets.
Oh, yeah. It was lost on an airline and is in one of the lost luggage museums.
Wait, what are the Hoggle puppets?
So the short guy, Hoggle.
Oh, yeah. His actual dwarf
costume.
Oh, okay.
Got lost.
Okay. I thought you were talking about the things that could take their heads apart and like their
The Fieries.
Yes, I couldn't remember what their names were.
Yeah, they don't say it very well. Show this image to you and give your first thoughts on this.
Okay,
yeah, before showing you show images that to me, work great on radio formats.
He's just gonna say how it makes him feel, like his gut reaction to seeing this.
Change my mind about who I want to play Jareth though. I think Neil Patrick Harris would make a good Jareth.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I could see that.
And he can sing.
Here we go.
All right.
3, 2, 1.
Ugh. It's all, like, rotted away, and we'll put that as the image for... Or we'll put that as the show picture.
Hoggle did not age well.
No.
It's like a Furby, except for instead of being a furry... instead of being a furry bird thing without a face, which is terrifying, now it is a short goblin man with only half a face, which is terrifying.
So my main thing, and I was thinking this while I was watching the movie, all those goblins were babies that were stolen by the Goblin King.
Oh yeah, he's been busy.
How many, like, broken promises or broken dreams has he preyed on? Man, David Bowie's kind of a jerk.
Well, it's only his Jareth personality. Oh. It's not David Bowie himself. It's essence of Bowie.
Well, the essence of Bowie is like Ziggy Stardust and the Pale White Man. Those are all portions of it. What, Richard?
Thin White Duke.
Thin White Duke, okay. It's just, he has so many... Nikola Tesla. I mean, they're all vying for control. Who knows how long Jareth actually has been under the power of Bowie. We don't know.
We don't know.
Well, so, we do now because, unfortunately, David Bowie is dead, and I'm sad about that. So, obviously, the Goblin King's not here now. Or is he? I'm kidding. Whatever.
All right, so, that was our first episode of the sub-series, Eric Lives Under a Rock.
If you have any movies you think he might not have seen, you better send him a tweet on Twitter.
Or message us on Facebook or whatever. But just let us know how you liked this episode. It's kind of a new thing. Or it's definitely different than normal plot spackle. Hey, they say variety is the spice of life. Yeah, so
we give it a try. And we'll see if the movies you picked he has not seen.
All right.
Odds are he hasn't.
Probably not. I live under a rock. Unless they're like super weird like Russian dramas. I mean, then we're talking. Not really.
All right. So like us on Facebook.
Follow us on Twitter.
Leave us a rating or review on iTunes.
As soon as we get on there, that'd be nice.
It'll happen one day.
Yeah, we're going to get on there, so you're probably listening to it right now, but...
This is in the future, in the past, and this whole bit is probably just going to get edited out. But no, it happened. No, it happened.
Eventually we'll get a Patreon. I don't know. We might. I don't know.
And someday, you Patreon viewers will hear the unedited stuff and find out how horrible things are behind the scenes.
Anyways.
Kudos to Eric. He is the editor.
Yep. All right, guys. Thank you for joining us. This is us signing out, I guess.